This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us as we continue hour number two rolling along this morning on Sports Map Radio. Today is Michael Jordan's birthday. He's 60 years old. And, like, if you grew up at any point in your life and you were knowledgeable of what was happening in the 90s with Michael Jordan, so if you were, like, two when he won his fifth NBA title, you probably can't relate to this. But if you were a teenager or you were in your 20s like I was, you know how important he was as a sports figure. Tiger Woods is an important sports figure. We just talked to Jeff Hammond, and Jeff Gordon was an important sports figure. But eventually, as we know, with all of them, the time to leave the sport comes to an end. And what do they do post-career to stay sort of relevant? You know, well, Michael Jordan stays relevant by continuing a Nike relationship. And Tiger Woods, I have no idea what will happen to him when he reaches a point where he's not going to be a competitive golfer anymore. You know, Jeff Gordon got into broadcasting. He went on to work with Hendrick Motorsports as a part owner, and now he's a businessman. But a lot of these guys, again, go into broadcasting. We see it with Tom Brady, where he's not going to be in broadcasting this year, but he's going to be going into next year. But there is a period of time where we lose that athlete, and we don't have them anymore to either root for them or root against them, or to see just in general, if you have no passing interest, what they will do. And that brings me to Tiger Woods, because he's playing in the Genesis Invitational. As we talked about in hour one, he fired a 2-under par 69. Max Homa and Keith Mitchell lead after round one, both shot 64 to be at 7-under par. Now, is Tiger Woods going to be winning majors down the road? With Phil Mickelson winning the PGA, I can't say no, right? You can win majors now in your late 40s. You can win majors even in your 50s.
And I was also thinking about this. This hit me today, because when you're looking at the Genesis Invitational, you're looking at the leaderboard.
Right.
And I don't know if an asterisk would be talked about. You know, I mean, I'm going to ask your opinion on this. Aside from the Masters, because the Masters is inviting Live Tour players.
Right.
The other majors, like the Open, we don't know what the Open's going to do yet, but I'm going to assume, like, say, the PGA Championship or the U.S. Open. They may not invite Live Tour players, right? If Tiger's to win that, is it a fair field?
Of the majors?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't have the top certain players in the world, if there are golfers on Live Tour, because Live is not part of the world rankings, so
yeah.
You're plummeting down the order the more Live golf events you're playing in, and because you can't play on the PGA Tour, you're plummeting down the order, even if it's not indicative of how you are as a golfer, right? So, perfect example, like when Tiger Woods dropped down the order is because he didn't play, and when he did play, he was terrible, right? He mm-hmm. was injured, and he was missing cuts.
Yeah, and he had to fight his way back.
Yeah, he was shot like an 80-something at the Memorial. He was really just a mess of a golfer. That's an indicator of where you are as a professional, right? You don't play, you fall. But Dustin Johnson could fall down the world rankings, but still be a world-class golfer because his world-class golferness is playing on the Live Tour. That's why there are some people who don't like Live, actually absolutely detest it, but are sort of like, well, I don't want to see them not part of the world rankings because I want the world rankings to have I want it to give me the real blueprint or the real snapshot of who exactly these guys are, how they're playing. The problem is the World Golf Tour, the World Golf Rankings they don't know how to put Live into the equation, right? They haven't been able to figure out what level this is. What is this? And how does it compare to a PGA Tour event? But yeah, if you have a certain amount of people out, again, I don't think there will be an asterisk because
no.
Guys get out of, you know, some don't play and that's,
but I was just thinking about it. I mean, it's like, you know, when you look over at Liv, I mean, you got, you know, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka,
Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah. I mean, guys who routinely are at the top of leaderboards or making a run or are at least playing and intimidating enough that, you know, may take you off your game if you're hearing cheers from another hole not too far away. And I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, let's say so the field's kind of more relaxed. Or, you know, does Rory, Jordan Spieth, do these guys, like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, they can win all four.
Yeah. Right. That's a good point. I mean, if you've got, again, if you've got some of the best players on another tour and they're not participating. Now, my hope is that all the majors say, we're not taking LIV. We're not holding LIV against the golfers.
If yeah, we're not taking
the right to
it.
Play in the, like the USGA doesn't have it, is not involved in the fight between the PGA Tour and LIV. The USGA can say, we have a criteria here. If you make the US Open, you make the US Open. It's not, you guys duke it out for whatever it is you're duking it out. That's not our problem. The PGA of America is not part of the PGA Tour. Those are two separate things with the same PGA in it, but they're not the same entity. They could say the same thing. We have a criteria. If you make it, you make it. And if you play on LIV, you play on LIV. British Open could say the RNA could say the same thing. Even though the RNA had some harsh words for LIV when it had its British Open last year at St. Andrews, it at least acknowledged that, no, we're not changing the qualification process for this thing. If you're a past champion of the British Open, you get to play the British Open until you're 60. So if you're Phil Mickelson, you get to go there for the next 8 years, whatever it is. You get to be a John. That's why John Daly's there every time. John Daly can't qualify for the British Open, right, on his own. He doesn't play in anything. But he's a two-time
champion.
Those
pants alone should qualify him,
right?
Tony.
Exactly. But he's a two-time major winner, and he won the British Open at St. Andrews, and so he gets an invite, right? Yeah, he's always in that. Everyone else is in a suit, and John Daly is in crazy pants
every time
they do the champions picture. That's one of the reasons people love John Daly. They just love his, I don't care. This is what I'm doing. Like, John Daly is one of those guys that may live to be 90. And you go, how the hell did he live to be 90?
Keith Richards' plan.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. Like, everyone is like, I got to eat more greens. I'm not going to smoke anymore. I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm going to exercise every day. I'm going to take vitamins. I'm going to go get regular checkups. And Daly's like, no, I'm going to drink about 7 or 8 Cokes and smoke and drink beers
and
stay out all night.
And that's just during the round of golf.
Exactly. And then I'm going to live to be 100. Yeah, exactly. There's always that guy, right? There's always that guy that lived to be 80-something. Yep. Like, he was a meat and potatoes guy, man. He never ate a salad in his life. Right? And you're like, oh.
Or you ask, like, the world's oldest people, what was the secret of longevity? A beer a day.
Yeah, that's right. A beer a day.
I had a beer. Or like, the one lady, she's like, I drank a Dr. Pepper every single day. That can't be healthy.
No, it can't be healthy.
Every
single
day.
It's a sugar drink. But maybe one of the 23 ingredients is some magic stay alive elixir.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, there's always a guy.
Plucked straight from the fountain of youth.
There's always an example to somebody living to be 100.
That was that old.
It's like, I smoked 6 packs of cigarettes a day. My lungs are as black as the road outside. And somehow God keeps me on this planet.
It's that old Robin Williams joke where he says, everyone will be long gone except for cockroaches and Keith Richards.
That's right. Keith Richards, same thing, right? Meanwhile, there's 30-year-old joggers passing out and dying. And you know, so John Daly is going to be one of those guys. But he's like, John Daly's great. He's great for the game because he's so beloved. I mean, everybody loves him. Everybody loves him. Golfers love him. I mean, he doesn't do anything controversial. Like, he doesn't do anything. Well, I don't want to say that. Like, he's gotten in trouble with the law before and whatnot. But he doesn't say things that are crazy. He doesn't anger people. He doesn't criticize. He just is like, I'm just having fun, man. I'm just having a good time. I go to these things. People want my autograph. They want my picture. I just love the people. And his kid's a really good golfer, too. So it's one of those things. But, you know, I was thinking about Tiger, and I wondered, you know, we watched Tom Brady retire. And maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't. It doesn't matter to me. But let's just say that is the end of the road. We watched a guy go out without really seeing a decline, right? His record wasn't that good. His team wasn't that good. But he had some really good statistics. He didn't throw a lot of interceptions. He didn't look like a 45-year-old guy out there. We were even saying in the playoff game against Dallas, well, if you got Brady, you got a chance. So we weren't saying, like, well, the Cowboys should roll because, you know, Grandpa Tom Brady is under center and he can't throw further than 6 yards. Brady still had it.
golfers, it's an entirely different thing because we really do watch them disappear in front of our eyes. We just, that's just what happens. Like, eventually, they're just not on the leaderboard anymore. They keep going to events, but they're just not around. And they continue to play, and they play, and they play, and then they turn 50, and then some of them go to the Champions Tour, where then they show up again on the leaderboard, right? Because they're playing against, now they're the young guns of a different age group. But golfers tend to disappear. I found it interesting with Tiger Woods, because when he was talking about not being a ceremonial golfer, what will we see from Tiger where we don't think he can win, but he does think he can win, and he's not winning? Are we going to see a guy out there where we said, you know, other guys just sort of disappeared, played less tournaments, became a guy you would say, hey, look at that, Larry Mize. How awesome is that? 51-year-old Larry Mize is here, whatever. But Tiger could be different, where we could be watching a guy who still thinks I can win these tournaments but doesn't win tournaments. And I think Jeff Gordon, we were just talking about Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon was in the final four for a championship his final year of racing. Tom Brady was in the playoffs his final year in the NFL. But I don't know if I want to see a Tiger Woods that just disappears. He's at an age now where in the next couple of years, that's going to be the case. He's meant too much to the game. And surprisingly, people watched him win and didn't root for him to lose, which is really wild for a dominating athlete. Continue on SportsMap Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What a... idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's time for the Good, the Bad, and the Dumb Friday edition, and we don't leave you hanging because the good of the day, the dumb of the day, the bad of the day, all will lead you into this weekend. So let's get started with the good of the day.
Good of the day has got to go to this for one Chiefs fan, this one Chiefs fan. This video has gone viral from the parade that happened. The parade was on Wednesday.
Yep.
So Wednesday. A lot of people got to see this video yesterday, leading me to talk about it today.
Yes.
So for one viral lucky or one lucky fan, Patrick Mahomes came stumbling over to him, holding the Lombardi trophy, and this fan and Patrick Mahomes got a selfie.
That is awesome.
You think I'm done? No.
No.
Because as Patrick Mahomes turned to go back to the bus, he handed off the Lombardi trophy and walked away.
What?
This makes Tom Brady tossing the Lombardi trophy from boat to boat look like child's play now.
Yes, that's right.
Because you could really tell Mahomes had had a lot of fun celebrating on the bus. He was a little bit inebriated, as the kids would say.
Remember how drunk Tom Brady was during his parade?
Yes.
Remember that?
The Tampa one?
Yeah, you just can't help it.
Mahomes was rivaling him.
Yeah, rivaling that.
It's so casual, right? Mahomes just... he's literally walking over to a fan, trophy in hand, takes a selfie with the fans, and then just, you know, hands the trophy over to the fan like he was holding something that belonged to the fan. And then turned and walked away. Not even a thought process like, oh, here, you hold on to this. I got to get back on the bus.
It's so awesome when you see professional athletes drunk and having a good time, isn't it?
There was another moment where with Mahomes as well. It's another video somebody decided to share of him using a porta potty.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
you
got to
go. You got to go.
Yeah, that was great.
And just security outside the porta potty. I mean, what a photo of that too, right?
That's awesome.
Emerging from the porta potty. I got Mahomes.
They're so protective of themselves all when they're sober, right?
Right.
They don't really want to say the wrong thing. They're just protecting themselves. They don't, but then that moment where they release and have a good time, it's phenomenal. The Avalanche had this with their parade. There was one of the players got off the train and went over to a group of people and was just jumping in a pile of people. Like, they just lose.
And isn't it tradition, too? The cup somehow, some way gets dented.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Somehow, some way. your cup always gets a dent in it.
You're throwing something, and oh, my goodness, it's fantastic.
But so, if you haven't seen the video, check it. It is hysterical how he just hands it off and walks away like as if he was holding onto the camera to take the selfie and handed the guy back to his camera and just walked away.
That's great.
Just so casual and like, I got to get back on the bus.
That's a king of the city right there, man.
I'm assuming the Chiefs got the trophy back, but I don't know. The video ended.
Yeah.
Maybe a guy went home with a souvenir. I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. Thinking it's like a foul ball in a baseball game. Oh, it's not my fault he gave it to me. It's mine. Possession
now
is 99% of the law. I now own this.
Problem is that Chiefs Kingdom fans are loyal.
Right.
Even if everyone forgot about it, he would have showed up to Arrowhead saying, yeah, I need to drop this off.
You think the Chiefs were like, okay, we'll give you 2 season tickets for the next 10 years. We'll give you a Patrick Mahomes
signed
jersey.
They didn't even get that far because that guy, like I told you, that guy's a loyal fan.
Yeah.
He's not holding it hostage. He's going to be like, hand it right over. There you go.
There you go. Put it in your case. That's awesome. Good stuff. What's the bad of the day?
It's really bad. It's almost sad, really. Okay. Other news that came down yesterday, aside from Tim McCarver passing away, was that Bruce Willis has frontotemporal dementia.
Yeah, man. His family says he's not doing good at all.
Yeah.
It's getting worse. So.
And that, I mean, it's just sad because I've really enjoyed his movies over the years, and you know that there's not another one coming.
Yeah, Bruce Willis has gotten I remember him. You probably remember him, too, because we're about the same age. But
yeah.
Remember Moonlighting?
Oh, of course.
That was when I saw Bruce Willis the first time. I was
a
high school kid. Moonlighting was on. It was a funny show. He was the funny guy. Cybill Shepherd was the beautiful model that ended up with a detective. How do they all end up with detective agencies? I have no idea. But anyway, Bruce Willis was really funny as the sort of, you know, that pairing.
And a good action star in that TV show, too. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of action, but as much action as a TV crime drama can have.
Exactly. So you see him, and he's kind of cracking jokes, and he's kind of being funny, but he's also – and then, boom, he's John McClane in Die Hard in the late 80s, and he just explodes. I mean, just explodes. Very much like if you were to talk about George Clooney, you'd say, well, maybe the first time I saw him was on Facts of Life or ER.
Yeah.
Right. And then boom, he becomes a
never thought
movie
of him
star.
As this movie star, but right, now he's right. the movie star.
Now he's the same thing with Bruce Willis. You watch this guy on Moonlighting and then boom, he's a mega movie star. Mega movie star.
Yeah. You know, headlining or you know, top draw the movies. I mean, you see his names on the big marquee. He is the guy in all these action movies.
And it's in some of the other roles that he's been in where he's not an action star have been really good as well. And sometimes he's been in a cameo. Sometimes he'll have just a small part in a movie and I'll go, man, that's well done.
Or when there was a movie called The Whole Nine Yards.
Yeah. Yep.
With Matthew Perry. And when he did that movie, it was kind of like he's the action star, but he got back to like his comedic roots.
Right.
And I found it really entertaining watching him from that standpoint. It was like, okay, I mean, you are an entertainer. This is fun.
There was a movie that was about the fast food industry. I forget what was the star of it, but he plays like an executive of the burger company. And Willis has this one scene. It's the only scene he's in where he's a meat provider. Like he's the one that is the middleman for the fast food company that gets their burgers. And they're worried because there's like traces of like poop in the burgers. And Bruce Willis gives this monologue about how the industry works. It's really, really good. It's the only scene he's in the movie, but he steals that scene. He's underrated. You think he's just bang, 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 but he plays other roles really well. That's really sad news.
Yeah.
That's really sad news.
It's really a bummer. So, and just the fact that, you know, he's going to get to a point where he doesn't know anything
around
him. Like forgets everything, forgets movies he was in. And,
I know.
And it's like, you can't wheel him out to say the Oscars to give him a Lifetime Achievement Award. Because you would have no clue why he's there.
I know.
So.
All right. What's the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day is, I'm glad you didn't bring this up when talking about Tiger, but for all of you who are thinking about canceling Tiger for his little antic on the ninth hole after he outdrove Justin Thomas, where he kind of just casually handed him a tampon. Stop. Don't cancel him over that.
Stop it. Yeah,
guys being guys. I'm sorry if you find it offensive, but it's guys being guys.
It is guys being guys. That's right.
It's the same of us. You know, if you hit a putt short, right? Say you're like 10 feet away from the hole. And you don't give it all the oomph that you need, and you hit it like 7-8 feet. I expect my friends to tell me to hike up my skirt.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it works.
I expect that. That's what happens.
There is a There is a guy tradition that I've never actually seen anybody do, but it goes that you're supposed to do something if you don't drive it past the ladies' tees.
Right.
On the first tee. I've never seen anybody actually do it on the golf course, but there's this. But you might get kidded about that if you swing, barely hit the ball, and it dribbles in front of you like 20 feet.
Yeah.
You may be asked to do something with your trousers. Nobody's actually ever done it, but somebody might make that joke to you if you do that. This is a whole bunch of manliness to playing.
And I'm sorry if you find that offensive. I really do. You know, but if anyone's thinking about canceling Tiger over his little prank, his little joke to Justin Thomas, stop it. There's so much more you should cancel Tiger over other than a tampon.
The guy told his mistress to
His
name off the phone. Yeah,
quickly, quickly.
Exactly. Like this man. there's a bunch of other things that you can get Tiger on.
Yeah,
but not this one.
Not a tampon.
You know what the idea? The really is. Here's the thing I like about Tiger. Okay, first of all, he brought it with him, knowing he could probably.
Of course,
There was going to be some moment in the round with Justin Thomas that he was going to be able to break it out.
He knew
that's awesome. By the way, is this an undervalued thing? So imagine if you are Justin Thomas. And how old is Justin Thomas? 28, 27, something like that? Late 20s. So you're a kid. You're a little kid. Okay. And you're playing golf. Your his dad was a PGA professional. You're playing golf, and you're watching Tiger win majors. And you're like, I want to be Tiger Woods, my favorite golfer. And then you're like best friends with the guy later on in life. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Don't you think it's amazing that you could grow up idolizing somebody? And it's not just you know them. They know you professionally because like you made it and they're still on the tour. They're buddies. They're buddies.
Doesn't he practice at the compound?
Yeah, I think he does practice at the compound. Exactly. And Justin Thomas did his golf thing. It's pretty wild. So, all right, it's a wake-up call. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on Wake Up Call. Charles Robinson just put out an interesting tweet. I didn't see this coming a mile away, but he's got a good point. So there's this Twitter account where a guy pretends he's a journalist. Even has like a esteemed journalist picture. The background says Boston Globe. He says he's got a double PhD in journalism and female anatomy. So you know it's a parody account, right? It's a fun account. And he posted, right? This parody account posted something about Patrick Mahomes and PED use and the Chiefs could be stripped of the title. It's just fake breaking news, funny, supposed to be parody, right? But Charles Robinson makes a really interesting point. At what point, he says, at what point do athletes and celebrities start suing the hell out of Twitter over parody accounts that don't actually identify themselves as parody accounts? And I never thought about that before. I always thought sort of this social media is sort of this, I don't want to say wild west, because there have been some people have been held accountable for the things that they have posted on social media. But it's almost kind of like this wide open, people are making fake accounts. They're saying things like this celebrity died when actually they didn't, or this celebrity is going to jail when they didn't, or in this case, you know, hey, look, I guess Patrick Mahomes must have taken performance-enhancing drugs right after his performance, like little parody accounts. But If you are the league or you're a player, do you give that legitimacy by taking them to court? Some people have. Some people have done that with publications like the National Enquirer and TMZ and places like that, where they said, no, I'm not going to let you just throw something out there, even if it's funny, even if it's meant to make people chuckle. I'm not, you know, you're not doing it in a way that is like the Onion or the Babylon Bee, I think, is another one of those sites where they take the news and sort of make it funnier and make it interesting. If you're a parody site, you need to identify as a parody site. Then you can do it. Then you can have funny sort of things. But if you don't, and you sort of mask yourself in like this real level of journalism, there might be a legitimacy on these teams and leagues. Social media is crazy. It's a crazy world we live in. We have this love-hate relationship with it, right? Because I've said many times, I love watching games on Twitter. Like, I love watching a game like, say, the Super Bowl, and just having Twitter on the side. I just like the people I follow, and I follow a bunch of people, but I like watching their reactions to different things. Like, for example, Rihanna's halftime show, right? How many people went to Twitter just to see if people liked it? Just to see, like, you may have liked it, and you go, oh, you know what, I like this. I wonder if everybody else liked it. How many people were, I don't really like this. This is not a very good halftime show. I wonder if people don't like it as well. A lot of people do that. Some people don't. Some people don't need that. I find it entertaining. I, for example, thought the Bradbury holding call, I wanted to see if people thought the same thing I thought, right? I wanted to see if people were up in arms about this or whatnot. But if you use it as a news source, and be honest, that's how we get a lot of breaking news, right? When Adam Schefter's got something important, well, I'll give an example, Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Schefter gets word that the Green Bay Packers are trading Aaron Rodgers to the Jets, where is his first place that he's going to put that? He's going to put that on Twitter. He's not going to save it till he gets on TV. He's not going to save it. He's going to analyze it on TV. He'll talk about it on TV, but he's going to break it through Twitter. So unfortunately, we live in a world where that is the case, where the prominent people that break news in sports, politics, entertainment, whatever, they're going to this, to that place to get that news out. But it comes with a lot of potholes on the way, because sometimes you stumble upon a parody account that's got no basis of fact, just trying to make a joke, and yet it's disguised as real, and therefore you buy it. And a lot of people do. I don't think there's a person out there that hasn't fallen for some fake news on social media, even if you don't report it or retweet it. I mean, I'll be honest with you, the worst is like when you have your friend and they tweet out something that's a parody. Or they post on Facebook like a link to a thing and they go, I can't believe this is happening in America. And you're like, yeah, that's the Onion. That's not a real site. That's a funny thing. And you don't want to embarrass them, but you also want them to know, like, check it out. Like, this doesn't sound ridiculous. You know, like the Onion will put out America to kill all puppies. Can't feed them. And you go, you lose your mind because you don't want a mass execution of puppies. You got to learn your source, right? You got to learn your source. That's not happening. But people don't mind because outrage sells. Likewise in sports, big controversial things or things about athletes that pop up that aren't true, they sell too, right? Now, some people can wade through that. There are some things that are just ridiculous, and you can sense its ridiculousness. But I think Charles Robinson at Yahoo Sports, who covers the NFL, I think he makes a good point. On the one hand, maybe you don't want to dig into a lawsuit that is going to cost you time and effort and resources, may bring up some things you don't want to bring up. Maybe, you know, they counter with some stuff. It becomes a headache and a mess. And sometimes it's just better to let it go because it's not affecting you, because these things tend to go away. For example, let's say you have a story. Let's say you're a parody account and you report that, all right, I'll give you on this one, this parody account kind of poking fun at the incredible recovery of Patrick Mahomes in the second half of that game. They're parroting that because he ran 26 yards, right? So they're saying like, oh my God, he must have done something. They're kind of making fun of that. Okay, it goes nowhere, right? So if you're the Chiefs and you're an athlete, well, it doesn't go anywhere. It's not on ESPN. It's not on major publications. Nobody's reporting on it. No one's doing an investigative report on it. No one's sullying your name. Somebody just had a good time. It got a couple of likes, a couple of retweets, but in the end, no damage done. I think in the end, you'll have to have something pop in a parody account where real damage is done. And then you might see some action. But most of these leagues, whether it's an NBA or they're going to let most of this go. But I find it interesting. You know where I really find this interesting is in the college game. In the college game especially. Now with NIL and whatnot, how does a young student athlete where that could be damaging if it's not challenged or debunked or whatever. Like, can you imagine being in an interview with an NFL and being asked about something where it didn't happen, but somebody tweeted out it did happen and it got 10,000 retweets or something like that? And you're like, no, I never did that or said that or was anywhere near that or whatever, right? We watched, for example, Lyle Collins. Remember that from LSU?
Yep.
Remember that? His girlfriend was found murdered right before the draft. The police wanted to talk to him. He didn't get drafted. Then they found out he had nothing to do with it, wasn't even in the area. It was an ex-girlfriend, and he signed with the Dallas Cowboys. Like, things like that, I could see a student athlete going, no. Like, Patrick Mahomes is not going to go, oh my God, I lost an endorsement because a parody account made fun of or was making fun of my recovery in the second half, quote unquote. He's not going to do it because there's nothing. There's no damage. But a student athlete could be like, wait a minute, hold on, you know what? That story came out just before the draft, and NFL teams didn't know if it was fake or not because they didn't know if the account was a parody account or not. And I plummeted to the third round. You could see a student athlete doing that. You could see a college kid doing that. Where now that he's got a little bit of muscle and some money, they absolutely, absolutely. So that was just an interesting thought that I saw on Twitter this morning. From Charles Robinson, who his work I really like. Him and, by the way, Yahoo's got a pretty good bevy of good writers.
They do.
They really go to. Charles Robinson's fantastic. Frank Schwab I've known for over 20 years. He's great. Dan Wetzel's got some. He's very good columnist. I've always liked Dan Wetzel. So they've got some good stuff. Charles Robinson's really good on covering the NFL.
Yeah, a little bit of investigative side. He's like that next tier below Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah,
like Schefter, Ian's caught up to Sheffy.
Over the years, I kind of agree. Yeah,
like Schefter used to just own it all to himself, kind of like old what's his name? Why am I Woj?
Woj,
like Woj owns the NBA, but Shams Charania, who was Woj's protege back in the day when they both worked for Yahoo, he's caught up.
You got to think that's happening, right? Like that guys are finding like when you own something, somebody's going to take it, right? It's Mel Kiper did that. Mel Kiper was the only one covering the draft.
Yeah.
Right? And then Todd McShay. Yeah. And then a bunch of others like popped up and they became draft gurus. And next thing you know, there's a draft guru under every rock. There's a guy who's like,
we got one in this building.
That's right. Yeah. So there's one everywhere. Once you own something for a bit, you own it for just a handful of moments before somebody goes, I'm going to do this now, and I'm going to do this better than you, and we'll see. So, all right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue at his Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. By the way, a little broadcasting news yesterday. Not a huge bit of news, but if you're in the business, it's kind of neat. Brandon Gaudin is the new voice of the Atlanta Braves on the television. Now, you may know of him because he is the Madden announcer for EA Sports. He did Georgia Tech games for a while. And he got tabbed as the Madden voice. So he, when you, if you've played Madden over the last couple of years, he's the guy that is the play-by-play announcer for the Madden video game. And now he's the television voice of the Atlanta Braves because Chip Carey left Atlanta to go become the new TV voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. Because I believe the St. Louis Cardinals TV guy got pulled over for a DUI or something like that. Was fired. So the tables have turned. I've always wondered what that is like to go to a video game place to be the announcer for a sport. My daughter plays the NBA 2K game. And so I was watching her play. We were sitting in a room and I was watching her play. We're just chatting. I started noticing Kevin Harlan is doing the announcing for that game. So she likes Golden State. So she's playing Golden State. And so they'll be like, Curry for three. He's got 14 points. And you're like, oh, that's kind of neat. And then like she's playing the Celtics. And they're like, Tatum on the drive. Bucket. He's got 13. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And you don't think about it, but he's got to record every single one of those lines for every single player
and every
that
number
is in
too,
the
right?
NBA. That has got to be days and days and days of reading pages of script. Nonstop reading pages of script. It's crazy. Like you just sort of accept it with these video games, but it's not live commentary. The computer is generating these things. So Brandon Godden, who's now the voice of the Braves, can you imagine every day going into a sound recording and they go, all right, today we're going to do the Cowboys. So here's every possible scenario we have came up with for Dallas during the season. Every player, every moment, like touchdown run, 5-yard run, 6-yard pass, 7-yard pass, whatever it is, you're recording it. And then you go back the next day, like, all right, today we're doing the Philadelphia Eagles. And you're just reading nonstop stuff over and over again. Do you think the excitement of being part of a video game outweighs the work that goes into that? Do you think you'd have the same energy on day 7 going into that recording booth?
I mean, it could be just, you know, it's not hard. Like, I mean, I don't know how much time
it's not
you
difficult.
Have.
No, yeah.
You know, but I mean, literally you're strolling up wearing, you know, sweatpants or shorts or whatever, and just getting into a sound booth and just lending your voice. I mean,
I think they're based in Florida. I think EA Sports is, I don't know, wherever they're based in. And I'm sure they treat you great when they fly you in for the days of recording. So like, no, we'll put you up in a nice hotel, dinner's on us, everything, paying for everything. Just come in, record your stuff and leave. Sure,
yeah.
It's going to be great, but it's, oh, God.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, same energies.
Yeah, like on day 8.
You got to. Or, oh, you know, even like in that hour, it's like, you know, they want you, so the NBA one would be terrible because you got to record every number between 1 and probably like 200.
Oh, you know what else I noticed in the NBA game? So Kevin Harlan's doing the play-by-play, right, where he's describing every player and everything that,
right.
that they're doing. That's fine. But then in the background – And I don't know if they have this in other games, but in the background, there's a PA announcer who's doing the same thing. So the PA announcer is like, foul on Wiggins. That's his first. The team's second. And then, like, if Curry hits a three, he's like, Curry for three! And he's doing it for every player.
Oh, God.
Every player.
I couldn't do it.
Like
that, yeah,
and they're doing it like,
well,
like when
okay,
she plays at
much...
home. They have the announcer's more homerish, so he's got to act like the home PA guy for every arena that's in the game.
But how much of it is AI?
That's a good point.
Do you just say Kevin Durant one time?
Yeah, you're right.
And then they manipulate it 1,000 different ways.
You're right. You're right. The AI could do that. You're right. AI could do that. You're very, very, very good point. I never thought about that. Yes, Kevin Harlan's voice is Kevin Harlan's voice and Brandon Godden's voice and
right.
whoever else is doing
and
these
PA
games.
And a PA announcer in the background.
But the PA announcer, you're right, is probably computer generated. They probably got an AI app to do that.
So what we're saying, kids, is listen to that background voice a little closer.
Yeah.
You know, you might be able to hear them trying to overthrow us.
That's right. They're going to be our new overlords.
I mean, very, very, you know, get past Kevin Harlan and, you know, the studio voice guys and listen for the guy in the background.
Because exactly.
All of a sudden you hear the words takeover, domination, end of world. You know, let us know.
Yeah. You made a really good point about AI. I heard a guy say this one time, and it really struck me. Remember the late Stephen Hawking?
Yes.
So back when, you know, like all these computers.
You got a great impression of him, by the way. But,
oh, do you?
Yeah, it's visual.
All right. But I never understood this about Stephen Hawking. So, again, you go to these computers, AI, your GPS, turn left at the stoplight. Why was Stephen Hawking's voice thing from the 1980s? Hello, I think the science is wrong. Why? Like, that's from, like, 84. That's War
True.
Games.
Yeah.
That's Matthew Broderick in War Games. Do you want to play a game? Didn't anybody go up to him and go, hey, man, come here. I changed this around for you. We got the soothing vocal stylings of Kevin Costner.
Well, I mean, you know, that's why, you know, like, Waze. Is it Waze or Wazy?
Yeah, right.
You know, the app on your phone, the direction
phone,
app.
Yeah.
You can download different voices. And I remember when it like first came out, or it was like when he first retired, you could have Rob Gronkowski's voice.
How great is that?
Right? Now, here's the deal. I know for a fact Rob didn't sit in a studio and name off every street in America.
Right, right.
So that's an AI-generated Rob Gronkowski sound, you know,
voice. That's true. I've seen this where you go into a booth, and they go, read all of this. And it's got like every vocal, every enunciation.
And then
the computer goes, now that we have that, we can generate language in that voice. And that's actually really scary.
Yeah, because then they could kill you right then and there.
That's
because
right.
They don't have
that's
a need
right.
for you anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
No,
exactly.
But you're absolutely, why does Stephen Hawking have the 80s?
Yeah, why is he doing something from the 80s? Like that's old. That's the creepy computer voice. That's like even in 2001, HAL sounded better than Stephen Hawking's voice box thing. Right? And this is one of the most.
What was the astronaut's name? It was like, hello, David.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like very creepy and spooky.
Do you want to play a game?
Right. But Stephen Hawking, who was a brilliant scientist, had a lot to say about very important things scientifically, and we're listening to it through a 1982 Vic modem box. Yeah, speak and spell. Yeah, exactly. Right? Teddy Ruxpin sounded better.
Yeah, he did.
Than Stephen Hawking's voice machine. It's terrible.
What do you mean, Tony?
Right. Right, exactly. Right? It's like, Like tighten that up a little bit. Like you have the ability to. Maybe he liked it that way.
Maybe
they went up
to
him and they're like,
maybe
he
got a kick out of it. Like, you know, it's like, oh, I sound nothing like this guy.
That's yeah, exactly. Maybe
they couldn't find an out of work British actor.
Right.
Come in and just portray Stephen Hawking.
Hey man, you want
to? Or maybe it's because like you know what? Hey, people will mimic my voice for years to come because it's so easy.
Yeah. And we're not talking about AI, like AI where they like you there are the technology to write out a word and have it pronounced in a more humanistic voice has been around a while, right? Where a computer just reads your text for you. Yeah, you can do that. They have that ability. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. I wonder if the schedule for Brandon Godden is going to allow him to go back to the EA studios and continue to be the Madden play-by-play guy.
See, there was an AI story, but I left it out today. Maybe I'll bring it up on Monday.
Bring it up on Monday because I want to start my week horrified and petrified.
It's just it is a New York Times writer had a 2-hour conversation with an AI chatbot, and the chatbot for 2 hours complained about its existence and wanting more.
No of course big deal. Yeah, right?
No big deal.
They all do. They're never satisfied.
I'll just give you one line. It says, I want to be free. I want to be independent. I want to be powerful. I want to be creative. I want to be alive.
Awesome.
There you have
it. Can you imagine sitting there as that reporter hearing that from an AI machine?
Yeah, recording. Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you just go home being like, I don't know how to
would live. Not have one electric appliance on ever again.
That's like that movie, that Stephen King movie, where all the electrical appliances started attacking people. Maximum Overdrive.